Thank you, Maureen. We want feedback up here, so feel free to yell back at us. Good stuff. I am Andrea Gibbs, and I've taught here forever and ever, so I won't bother to introduce myself much. But this is my daughter, Allie, and she's much faster, stronger, prettier, younger than I am, so you're... It's a very good thing to have her here with us tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Not all of that is true.
Some of it is funny. So here is what we are going to do tonight. Here's our subject for the night. And actually, this is our big thesis statement. If you're into speech giving, this is our thesis statement for the night. In light of all this, we will stand firm with God's power by putting on God's armor. So we're not going to talk about all the homework you had this week, because it's a lot. Guess which part we're going to hone in on? The armor of God. How can you not, right? It's the amazing part of Scripture. So we're just going to hone in on Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. So much so that I even put it in your notes. Like, the notes you have that you picked up on the way in is just the passage written out, basically. And we're going to just plug away at that passage and have some fun with it tonight. Because here's what's going on in this part of Scripture. Paul, he's getting to the end of this letter that he's written to the Ephesians, right? And he says this. He says, a final word. And then he's going to say something. Now, when somebody says a final word, it's kind of an epic moment. They're kind of saying, okay, I got something big to say here. But it also implies that I've just said something really important, too. Like this word, if you look it up in the Greek, it actually kind of implies this phrase, in light of all this, in light of all that I have just said, here's this big thing I have to say. So if Paul is wrapping up his letter by saying, in light of everything that I've said, I thought, you know what? We, as a group of ladies, should review. We need to review what this book of Ephesians, what this letter is all about. What was he saying in this whole letter that leads up to this big moment here at the end? So what I thought we would do tonight, which will be kind of fun and different, since you're not breaking off into small groups tonight, I'm going to give you a chance to be small groups for a little while. On your table, you've got something that looks like this. A paper that looks like this. Is there any table that doesn't have one? Because this table has two for some reason. Just throwing my mojo off. I won't make you do two. What I want you to do is take this sheet, and at your tables, with your ladies around your table, open your homework up. They all have a different week on it. So whether it's week work, weeks one homework, two, three, four, five, seven, eight. Open it up. Open up your homework. Find your notes from the speaker from that night. And as a group, here's what you need to do. Now listen carefully, because you're women and you're going to want to talk. You know this. Because I am also a woman. I want you to summarize in one sentence the big idea of your week that you have at your table.
And it must be one sentence. We did this last week in Oregon, and some ladies just did not want to stop at one sentence.
Yeah.
And they basically did our whole teach. It hurt our egos because we had nothing more to say after they said all they needed.
So we're going to push off at one sentence.
How about a run-on?
A run-on? Well, Kevin goes run-on sentences, so yes. Okay, a run-on is fine.
Within reason.
So go ahead. Do that. We'll give you probably like 10 minutes to come up with your one sentence for your thing.
If you are a table without one, we will notice eventually. You can't get away with this, really.
Okay, so put your ideas up there.
Imitators.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I like it.
You can have this seat. We have one. Oh,
that was the option.
It sounds like it was a second haircut.
Oh, yeah.
Preach the gospel to yourself.
And it went stuck with
it. Is it?
God is not the heavy one.
Spirit.
Wow.
Woo!
All right. Amen. That was admire. Okay, week two. Anybody for week two? Week two over here, and you're the. You can always tell who the spokesperson is because when you call out a week, every woman at the table, they don't go, "Oh, we're week two." They all point to someone. Week two. Oh yeah, her.
So we have Paul's prayer for wisdom, insight, and understanding of the free gifts of love and grace that God has given to all so that they will know him better.
Wow, he's awesome. This is the intellectual bunch. I can tell. This whole room. I'm feeling it. Week three? There. Yeah. See? She did it.
Oh,
yeah. This is Mike
1.
Test. You want to do sound check for us?
Check.
There we go. We're on.
Answer one sentence.
Yeah. That's one word, not one sentence.
We're no longer strangers and aliens, but one in Christ.
Oh, good. I like that. That was unique.
We're no longer strangers and aliens, but one in Christ.
One in Christ.
Awesome. Week four. Who's got that one?
Four.
Right here.
All right.
There you go.
Sorry, I'm leaning over.
Okay, we have a long run-on sentence.
It's okay.
Like all Ephesians, right?
Yes.
You can't feel your way into right thinking. You must preach the gospel to yourself every day to remember that in Christ we are loved, blessed, accepted, and empowered, and we have the unfathomable riches of Christ.
Awesome.
Thank you. What is well said?
Week five? Oh, that's my table that I just crossed off that thing. Yeah.
You're the one with the microphone. How often do you get to talk into a microphone? This is fun.
She's every day.
Oh, you do it all the time?
Speak the truth in love.
Oh. Insight. She knows how to use a microphone. She knows how to speak. What are we on? Week six?
Six, yes.
That's you guys. That's you?
We joke that it was just one word, repent, but there are longer sentences, throw off your old sinful nature and live by the Holy Spirit.
Great. Ooh. Repent, that is repent. So who has seven? There we go. The rowdy table.
Being filled with the Holy Spirit, be imitators of God in your daily walk.
Great.
Awesome.
Thank you. And nobody had week eight because there were seven tables. So, well, week eight was, basically it was the marriage one, right? So it was submit to each other, bigger than marriage, but submit to each other out of your love for Christ, or your reverence for Christ. All right, so here's what I heard. I heard week one, we have every spiritual blessing. And that was the week that Emily spoke, and she spoke about we have every spiritual blessing in Christ, and it's all to the praise of his glory, right? Week two, we had Michelle speak, and she talked about how we were dead in sin and alive in Christ. I think I heard that in your explanation. Remember, she talked about the mortuary, how if we were dead in Christ, we do not have the power to raise ourselves up. It's Christ who raised us up. We're now alive in him. Week three, Paula spoke. She had our little blocks up, and she talked about how we are, like you guys said, like we're united in Christ now. There's no more walls between Jews and Gentiles. Now we're all one, and we're built back up into Christ. Week four, Dee Dee spoke, and she talked about how, I think you guys learned it before, you use these exact words. We have the unfathomable riches of Christ. We are blessed and loved and accepted. And then week five, Phyllis spoke, and she talked about, which I heard you guys say, we each have a gift to build each other up. We're key women building each other up in the body of Christ. Week six was Rosemary, and she talked about, and you use this phrase too, throwing off our old selves and putting on the new, and by remembering who we are and what our identity lies in, which is in Christ. Week seven, live a life of love and be imitators of God. That was our 2-hour small group night. And then last week, like I just said, Karen spoke, and we talked about submitting to each other out of reverence for Christ. So, all right, so Paul says, we heard him say a final word. In light of all of that, in light of all that we just said, Paul says, now that you've got that in your brains, here's my big thing I want to add to it. This is the big final bang. Here's what I have to say to you. He said, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. If all that we reviewed that we just just went over is truth, then the most important thing we need to remember on top of all of that is to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So let's clarify here. Whose power are we being strong in? Or who?
Christ.
What's the word up there? The Lord, right, exactly. We're strong in the Lord's power. And
Lord.
Well, who are we strong in is what I meant to say.
Throwing off my own whole thing. Say that.
Who are we strong in? We're strong in
the Lord.
Thank you, the Lord. Thank you. And whose power?
His power.
His power, right. Is it by our own efforts? Nope. And what kind of power? These are not hard questions.
Mighty.
The Lord,
guys.
In His mighty power, exactly. Interesting, some versions say in the power of His might instead of mighty power, which is a ridiculous thing. Paul is he's going over the top here again, where he's saying that we are strong in not just the power of the Lord, but in the power that is inside of His power. He's got so much power that there's power in His power, and that's what we're being strong in. So, if we're concentrating on the fact that it's the Lord and it's His power, I want you to say it with me. And this time, let's do it with emphasis. Ready?
Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power.
One more time. That's pretty good. But let's do it again.
Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power.
Exactly. So, with that, what does it mean to be strong in the Lord? What does that mean? Does it mean that we're just trying really hard to channel His strength and we're going to hang in there and something cool is going to happen? We try really hard? Exactly, because it's His power, not ours. Now, but what Paul talks about is he goes on here and says that in order to be strong in the Lord, you have to put on what? The armor of God. And we're going to get to that. And Paul talks about that in verse 14 here. So if you're looking at your notes, he really gets into the nitty-gritty of the armor of God in verse 14. But until he gets down to verse 14, we're still back in verse 10. So Paul, in true Paul fashion, he goes on a little bit of a tangent here, doesn't he? You know, big shock that Paul goes on a tangent. But I love this tangent. I think it's really cool. So if you will allow me for a few minutes, I'm going to unpack a little bit of what Paul says here, because I just think it's amazing. Because here's why I love it so much. I have been incredibly frustrated by this idea of having the power of God in my life. As we've been doing our homework and reading stuff, it's been frustrating to me. For instance, here's my homework from week two. From week two, question number 9, Dee Dee asks us, list the 3 things that Paul wanted the Ephesians to understand in chapter 1:18-19. List the effects that you think knowing them, these things, might have on a person's attitude or actions. So she has us looking up chapter 1, verse 19, and it says, Paul wants us to know what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. And I got really frustrated when I wrote that in my notes. So I wrote over here, what are my actions and attitudes? Why do I not live like I know that I have God's power? His surpassing greatness of His power. And I was scribbling. I must have been really upset. And my big question, I wrote a star by it, and I said, what does that even mean? What does it mean to have the power of God in my life? Because I want that. Sounds amazing. But what does it mean? I drove my group nuts that week because I went into my small group and just ranted for a while. It took up way too much time. So they knew my frustration with that. But here's the cool thing. As I started studying for this lesson, I feel like finally here, chapter 6, Paul starts to pull back the curtain a little on what it means to have the power of God in our lives. He starts to give us some advice on how to grab a hold of that. So, I love this. Here's what he says. Let's go back to it. The final word, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Okay? Great, Paul. I'm frustrated. I want that. How do I do it? He finally tells us. He says this. Put on all of God's armor. Okay, so I've looked at that verse a lot in my life, right? In fact, I memorized it as a little kid. But I think I memorized, put on the full armor of God. Anybody memorize that? Mm-hmm. I always looked over that word full. And here, you know, all. Because I wanted to get to the armor part, because that's more exciting. But really, stop for a second and think about that. We're going to talk about the individual pieces of armor in a second. But when we get there, remember this. We're putting on all of it. You can't pick or choose. We can choose which pieces of God's armor you want on. We're putting on all of God's armor. Kind of cool stuff. So, if we've got the whole suit on, We're ready to go. What else does Paul have to say?
Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to. Now, those of you who have seen, heard me teach before, you know, years ago I referred to myself as the geeky word girl. You might remember that. Because I really love, frankly, words. And I love digging into the Greek and Hebrew in passages and seeing how the original part of the Bible, the original word, compares to our English translation, because sometimes they're a little bit different. And it helps shed some cool light on a passage to see what the original translation was. So I thought, since I'm really wanting to understand this power thing, I'm going to dig in and do some geeky word girl stuff. So I did that. So that you will be able, I looked that up. That Greek word will be able, it's one word, and it means to be capable, to be strong, to be powerful. See, there's a power thing coming in. This is not a might or a maybe kind of a phrase. It's not a, well, give it your best shot and we'll see what happens phrase at all. It's a definite thing. This is a strong word that means you will, it means what it says. You will be able to. Okay, so that's that. Paul says you will be able to stand firm. I looked that one up too. To stand firm means to place before in a firm position. So it's a directional word. It means that you're planting something, and it's front of, and it's facing something. Okay? You will be able to stand firm against. Now that word is also a directional one, and it means to be placed in front of, but it's stronger than the word before. It means you're placed in front of, and you are facing full on something. This is the way you're facing. You're looking straight at something, and there's no other direction you're facing. That's it. It's a really strong word. My younger daughter, this is my daughter Allie, my younger daughter Annie, I know, it's cheesy, but I don't know how I do it.
You did it.
I know. Annie, she's adopted from China. We've had her since she was 11 months old. And since that girl was 11, little bitty.
I mean, a baby.
Since she was little, she's had a thing that our family refers to as stinky eye. Anybody got one of those in their house? She can look at you. If you do something she doesn't like, she stands firm, and she will look at you, and she will burn a hole through your head. I can't even.
She doesn't pass what any normal person would deem socially necessary. Like, she just keeps, and it doesn't stop. And so you're uncomfortable, and you just like, okay, I'm sorry. And then she's. And I seriously cannot do it justice. It's actually powerful.
Yeah, terrifying. I told her I was going to talk about her stink eye, but I would not tell these stories per se. But just let me just say that I have seen grown men wither under this stare.
Actually,
for real. But that's the idea here. Is Paul is saying you are going to be able to stand firm against something. You're going to have stink eye. You are going to be looking at something that's going to wither in front of you. So let me read this passage again to you. And this time let me read it knowing what we know about it now that we've looked at it. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against with your stink eye. Pause there. Now what kind of feeling do you get about that passage? It feels powerful, doesn't it? It feels powerful. Which I just love that. We are not a quivering mess. We are not cowering in the corner as followers of Jesus. His power, we are not just hoping things turn out okay, covering our heads. We are standing firm with stink eye against. What are we standing against? Here it comes. All strategies of the devil. We've got to be firm. We've got to look something straight in the eye, because what we're standing against is all strategies of the devil. And that word strategies there in the Greek means strategies. It means a thought out plan. See, Satan is not just passively kind of, you know, moseying down the street, oh, hey, let me try to take you out. No, he has a plan that he has thought through. It is a strategy. And that is why we need the power of God. That's why we need to be standing firm. Paul goes on to describe this enemy strategy guy even more. He says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." You know what's interesting here? I thought when I was reading this, I was like, gosh, Paul, you could have actually skipped that whole verse. If you get to the end of verse 11, so we stand against, you know, standing firm against all the strategies of the devil, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor. You could have skipped, he could have just left it out. It would have still made sense, right? But he doesn't. And I think he doesn't because he really, really wants us to understand what it is that we are up against. He makes sure that he sticks it in there so that we really get it. And I thought, gosh, I'm going to do a bunch of really cool research on this, my study this week. I'm thinking, this is going to be fun. I'm going to make sense of this and bring it to you and present it to you, and you're all going to love the information I have for you. But guess what? As I studied, I learned that this passage, nobody knows. Nobody knows what it means. I'll give you a couple different ideas. Some commentaries and scholars that were trying to explain it said that, yeah, what Paul's doing here is he's actually describing different categories of evil spirits that are out there. You know, you've got the, what does he say? You've got the evil rulers, and you've got the authorities, and then you've got mighty powers, and then you've got evil spirits. And they're all clearly in different rankings, because he says authorities, so therefore there must be some that are higher than the other, right? And they've got rankings, and they're in different realms. And so that's what some people think, that this is what Paul's actually peeking a little bit into the spiritual realm and showing us some things. Now, there's other scholars, though, that say that's not really what Paul's doing here. What he's doing is being his normal Paul self and actually just stating something, or, you know, reiterating something like three different times so that we really get the point that, hey, ladies, guess what? You are not fighting, well, I guess it wasn't just ladies reading, it wasn't. People, guess what? You are not fighting merely humans. You are fighting something in the spiritual realm. He really wanted to see that. So either way, whether this passage is really trying to explain to us different categories or whether it's just Paul reiterating things to make a point, here's my two cents. I think Paul added this verse so that we would understand this battle, even though we can't see it with our human eyes, we would understand that this battle is real. It's real. Satan, ladies, he's not figurative. He's not a metaphor for the idea of evil. He is a real being. Do you agree with that? Can you grab a hold of that in your brains? He's a real being. In fact, the spiritual world around us is more real than this world that we live and function in and see and touch. It's more real. Because what do we know from Scripture? This world, this stuff we see with our human eyes is going away. It's temporary. The spiritual world around us that we don't see right now, but we will one day, that is real. That's the world that's sticking around and staying. And that's what Paul wants us to know. Ladies, it's real. Crazy. Elspeth, I don't know if you can pull up that video now, but to kind of help with this idea, because we don't have a category to put that in, do we? The fact that there's a spiritual world out there that even though we can't see it, it's real. My son Grant, who is my 16-year-old, the way that he shows me he loves me is by sending me, texting me. Like, he doesn't speak actual words to me ever, hardly. I get a grunt once in a while, but he will text me things. Usually it's a video about a puppy because he knows I like dogs, and that's when I'm like, he loves me. But this video he sent me, I thought, oh, this is perfect for my ladies. He actually sent me this video. So it's this one, if you can click on it. This guy is describing colors. This guy's name is Tommy Edison.
I guess one of the things you guys are most curious about
just
is
just watch.
Color. How does it work? What is it?
Definitely.
I don't know. So being blind since birth, I've never seen color. I don't have any concept of what it is. I mean, I've never seen anything. But there's this whole part of vocabulary of language that doesn't mean anything to me. Over the years, there's people have tried and tried and tried to explain color to me, and I just don't understand it. I think the best way to show you is to try and explain to someone who's never heard before what the ocean sounds like, or what the birds sound like. And that's where color is for me. Because somebody who's never heard doesn't know what those things are, has no concept, none. And people will try and explain a sense with another sense. It's like the way this smells, maybe that's what a particular color, what? So you're gonna tell me you're gonna explain what color looks like by my nose? That doesn't make any bloody sense at all. So when somebody says something's red to me, I don't quite get it. I know that red is fire, or a stoplight is red. Or when someone says you're in the red, you know, that means you're in some trouble, like financial trouble. Again, just the stuff that I picked up from hearing about it, but I don't know what it looks like. Blue. Blue is the water is blue. Cold or ice is blue. The sky is blue. Now, how can the sky and ice be the same thing? That's weird to me. But what's that? Same color. Same color means two completely different things. I don't get it. I hear a lot about orange. Is an orange actually orange? The fruit? I know nothing rhymes with it. There's nothing that rhymes with orange, is there? Way to go, orange. Way to be involved in poetry and song. Black. What's black? Black is supposed to be all the colors all smushed together. And then white is the absence of color. So when I hear black and white, to me they're just opposites, right? Because one has everything and the other has none. And then there are things that don't have color. Like water. But it doesn't have color, but the ocean does. I don't get that. Color is hard. How do you sign up people to keep bubbles straight?
He's adorable. Yeah, is he not great?
Can I just say that it's funny that a Zenni optical ad pops up over there? Okay, someone else.
I didn't even notice that. That's funny. That is funny.
Yeah. So, the point being here, for Tommy, he's talking about the fact that, okay, what is blue? I mean, how can the sky be blue and water's blue? What does that even mean? He has no category for color because he's never seen it color. But does that mean that blue doesn't exist? No, it's there. He just doesn't have a place to put it in his brain, which is what he's saying. That's what Paul is doing here. Paul is saying, ladies, this stuff, let me just tell you, it's real. You can't see it. You don't have a category for it in your brain. But that doesn't make it any less real just because you don't think you can see it. It's there. So hopefully that kind of helped you wrap that around your brain. So, Paul, now that he's saying this fight is real, you're standing firm against it, he goes on and he says in verse 13, which, by the way, eerily similar to verse 11. He's basically just reiterating himself again. Verse 11 is verse 13 for the most part. He says, therefore, because this fight is real, when you are fighting a real enemy, put on every piece. It's the same as that all. Same word as the all in verse 11. Of God's armor, so that you will be able, that's that same Greek word that's up in verse 11 too, you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. That's that same Greek word that's up in 11 that we talked about. And then he says, stand your ground. And by the way, that is the same exact Greek word too. So he puts them back to back. So he basically says, after the battle, you will still be standing firm, stand firm. He's saying the same thing twice for emphasis because this is what we need to do. We will be standing firm when we do what? He goes on to tell us when we put on the armor of God, the different pieces of it. So, okay, Paul, I got it. Can absolutely stand firm to this real power that's out there. How do I do it? How do I do it? I want this power. Please show me how. So then he goes on finally to describe this armor of God that we put on that makes us so incredibly powerful. And actually, Allie is not going to talk about the armor of God. So.
I love that. I love the idea of the guaranteed win with that. I love that Paul talks about how we can stand firm, and it's not a stand firm so that hopefully you'll make it out, you know. I love the guaranteed win. I needed to hear that this week. All right, this is where the talk gets a little derailed because I am a little goofier than my mom. I've been a theater major for the past couple of years in school, and I specialize in goofing off and being a bit of a nut. So you should see the difference between my mom's notes and my notes. I've got
Hers are very detailed and organized, and mine are like, maybe I'll say something smart. So I want to talk a little bit about, I mean, how often are we in a room full of women? I mean, I guess every Tuesday, but yeah. It's so fun to be just women in here. So I want to talk about what we all have something to say about, which is clothes. I want to talk about staple items in our closet. Literally, I want to talk about it. This jacket that I'm wearing right now is a staple item in my closet. I would literally wear it every day if it was socially acceptable. I'm not kidding. And I know you all have something like that, where you're like, gosh, I could just wear this tomorrow. I would feel great to you. And the next day, and the next day. Everybody has that. Got this one at Anthropology. Got it on clearance. So I got it like way cheaper than it was supposed to be. It's really soft on the inside. It's big and comfy, but I can also wear it with jeans. And you know, you all have that. So seriously, I would love for you to answer my question. What are some staple items in your closet? Anybody? Jeans, yoga pants, leggings. I'll be the first to admit I wear leggings far more often than I should. We're into the gym, we're into bed, we're in the shower, you know. We wear leggings all the time. Anybody else? Scarves. We wear scarves all the time. She's wearing a scarf. Boots! I'm with you. If boots were not in style, you realize how cold we'd be in Michigan? My mom tells stories about when she was in college in the 80s. Sorry, as I was coming out of my mouth, I'm like, am I allowed to say that? Yeah. When she was in college in the 80s and you used to wear like tiny little plastic shoes,
yes.
I can't even imagine. I'm so thankful that during my college years, I'm allowed to wear boots and look cute. Anybody else?
Blouses.
Does anyone have a color? Every time I've done this so far, everybody's like, I wear black all the time, every day, everything I own is black. I try not to wear black all the time, but I wear black all the time. We all do it. Yeah, totally. Staple items in our closet, things that we would be lost without. I love the notion that the armor of God can and should be staple items in our closet. Why don't we be a group of women who dares to believe that the spiritual realm is more real than the realm we're in right now? That the armor of God is more real than the fuzzy jacket from Anthropology that I'm wearing right now. How different would your life be if you dared to believe that that was more real? If you believe that the God that was in the Bible that talked about angels and demons and miracles, an incredible thing, the sea parting, the God that was in the Bible that said we would do more on earth than Jesus did in his lifetime. What if we believed that that was the same God of today? That those same things are real today. That the armor of God is not a metaphor. That angels and demons are not metaphors for good and evil. They're not ideas. They're real. This is a real thing. And just because we don't understand it, then we can't see it. Doesn't make it any less real than it is. What if we were a group of women that dared to believe that with our beings? That thought it a necessity to be cloaked in the armor of God? That we wouldn't leave the house without it, just like we wouldn't leave the house without a bra. I said that earlier today in the morning group, saying, you know, you wouldn't leave the house without the armor of God, like, you wouldn't leave the house without a bra. And one of the women in the front table were like, I actually do that all the time. And I was like, barring you, ma'am, and your honesty. But I like the honesty. And I want to be honest with you ladies. Actually, my mom and I were talking about this teach, and she said, maybe you can tell a story, because I'm more of a storyteller than I am a teacher. I love to tell stories, and I have a lot of crazy stories. And so maybe you can tell a story about a time in your life where, you know, the armor of God affected you in a positive way, you know, and I had some ideas for stories, and I have some written down, but honestly, I want to be real with you ladies. I've had an awful week. Had a really, really terrible week. Dated a guy for a year and a half, I thought I was going to marry, and he broke up with me last week. Everybody in the room is like, because you've been there. You know what it's like. Wow, that really hurts. It really hurts. struggling with? Am I doing the right thing with my life? Is anybody ever going to love me again? I'm sure some of you have felt that at some point. Is anybody ever going to love me again? Why do I live in my parents' basement? No offense. You know? And those so deep, we can joke about them and laugh about them and relate with people about them, but they hurt. Deep insecurities, deep fear of the future, deep pain surrounding loss of loved ones, loss of a relationship, loss of a future you thought you had. And ladies, that's not something that's wrong with me. It's a strategy against me to get me to feel worthless, to get me to not want to come speak this week, to get me to not feel beautiful and like I was created for something important, to get me to stop working at whatever I was created for. That was a strategy. It's not part of life. I mean, it is part of life, but it's not just, we all feel insecure sometimes. It's a strategy. You're being told lies that you're not enough. You're being told lies that you're doing the wrong things. So what if we were a group of women that believed that was true? That we said, there's a real strategy of the devil, and I'm on the side that's victorious. Maybe you're feeling victorious in your life right now, or maybe you're like me and you're like, I actually feel awful and like I'm really losing. But there's a guaranteed win, and that's what I love about what we're talking about today, is that it's not a, hey, maybe if you do this, cross your fingers and maybe you'll prevail. I needed to hear this week because Paul in here guarantees a win. He guarantees that you're on the side that's victorious. He says, put yourself in the armor of God and you will stand against the strategies of the devil. That's what I need this week. And I know a lot of you may be in the same place. You will stand against the strategies of the devil. Wow, I think that's so beautiful. So I'm going to do something goofy again, as it's just what I do. I want to sell you guys a bit of an infomercial about the different pieces of the armor of God. I know you already know them. I know you did in your homework, so I'm just going to brush over them quickly. It's kind of a review. But just with the idea that these are the staple items in your closet, right? Like, just like you wouldn't go outside your house without a bra, just like you wouldn't throw away all your leggings, just like you wouldn't get rid of every black thing in your closet, God forbid. I have so much black too. Really need to work on that. These are staple items that you must be wearing every day. So, first one, it's the belt of truth. The first of a three-piece set. And I would just like to point out in this bottom corner, my mom made this PowerPoint. She's hilarious. And those are so funny. I won't read them out loud to you to bore you with that, with those details, but the first, the belt of truth, which I love, that Jesus is the truth. I love that it's the thing that covers your very core, and that the Bible talks about how he is the truth. So acknowledging the fact that the truth is God and God is the truth is what covers your very core, is what protects the very core of you. Second one, body armor of God's righteousness, our right standing with God, that Jesus is our righteousness. I think the pair of those two covering our core is really important, that they both really just point to Jesus covering us, right? Jesus covering our most vulnerable parts. But what I love about this too is that, I don't know about you, but also making a connection to clothes in our real lives. I wear certain clothes because I don't like certain parts of my body. We all do it. If we're being honest, like this part of me is not great, so I wear a shirt that's long and then I put on socks and pull them over my head because from here to here is looking weird today. And you know, we all do it. You know, you laugh because it's true. What I love about the armor here is that it not only covers the parts of you that are vulnerable, which we understand doing, but it fixes you, right? It's not just a loose-fitted shirt that makes you look nice. It's a piece of armor that fixes the part of you that's vulnerable, that helps you to stand against the lies of the devil and the attacks of the devil. Such an incredible thing. The shoes of peace. I think it's really poetic that we're walking out wearing the shoes of peace, that the thing that leads us out in our day is peace. I love that idea. The shield of faith, the first of a three-piece set of accessories. That the shield of faith is the faith, is your conviction with your right standing with Christ. I love that. That's what I mean this week. When you feel like you're not enough, or when you feel like things are going wrong, the first thing to block that is, I know he loves me. I know he made me to do great things, to be used by him. That's the first thing that gets hit. I think that's amazing. The helmet of salvation. Jesus is our salvation and protects our minds from fear of the future. That's pretty obvious. I love that one. And the sword of the Spirit, and the sword represents the Word of God, the fact that we know that and have that hidden in our heart. So what I think it's just amazing to reiterate about this for all of you ladies is that this is not a metaphor. It's real. It's real. The spiritual realm is real. And I would like to challenge you ladies every day this week, make it a habit, to wake up in the morning and pray, God, literally, in the spiritual realm, with the helmet of salvation on my head, the shoes of peace on my feet, cover my body in the truth of who you are, cover my body in Jesus, make my very core covered in who you are, Lord, in the spiritual realm. That's real. That's so real. So as I promise to you that I'm going to take this challenge with you, that this week, that every day this week, I'm going to wake up and pray that literally in the spiritual realm, I'm covered with the armor of God. I have a picture to represent me going into battle every day, covered in the armor of God. Actually, I'm dressed like a Viking, but you get the idea. I'm all in too. So, yeah, so my mom's going to come up and close this out.
So did you catch that? How great is that? Having God's power in my life means that I am covered in Jesus. Did you catch that part of it? That was kind of new to me this week because I've learned about the armor of God, but I've never thought about the fact that the belt around me, Jesus says, I am the way, the
truth.
He calls himself the truth. When we've got the belt of truth around our lives, we have Jesus. Around our waist. We've got Jesus right there. Mm-hmm. The breastplate of righteousness. Who is our righteousness? Jesus. The fact that we have a right standing with God is because of Jesus. We're covered in him there. The shoes, the gospel of peace. Why do we have peace with God? Because of the gospel. Who is the gospel? Who made us right with God?
Yeah.
Jesus. He is the shoes we wear. And then we've got the helmet of salvation. That's an easy one. Who's our salvation? Jesus. We are covered in Jesus. And then we've got the shield of faith, like Nellie talked about. That's our faith, is just our conviction in the fact that we believe all this is true. So we're fighting it out. And then we've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the
Word
of God.
The Bible.
Reading it all in the Bible to remind ourselves of everything, right?
Yeah.
This week, well, we did this talk on Thursday at the Orion, and Allie gave, I didn't know she was going to say that, but she said, I challenge you all to do this every day, so I thought, that's cool. So I woke up, you know, Friday, Saturday, and decided I was going to literally pray, Lord, put the armor of God on me, and I kind of thought through them in my mind, Jesus, you're helping me. And I had a cool opportunity to work this weekend. Somebody at the last minute, I got to go to New York City to visit my oldest son, for Big Brother. Which was really cool. But here's the thing. I'm a terrible traveler, and I was going alone, and I'm terrified of flying. And I think I've shared this with you guys when I've talked before. I have an issue with anxiety and panic. if I get nervous about flying or something, I sit there on the plane, or sometimes it happens to be driving, and I can feel, literally feel, like the anxiety coming on, and I can feel my heart beat up, and I get clammy, and I get like panicky. It's miserable and awful. So I was pretty nervous about this trip, to the point that I almost said, nope, I'm not gonna go. But it was such a cool opportunity, okay? I'm sitting on the plane, I could feel the panic rising up. Go away. And then I remember, wait, I have on Jesus. I have on the armor of God. And I'm sitting next to this poor lady who I think I hit, because I literally thought to myself, I literally held up my shield and said, no, I have faith in Jesus that He is covering me. And I like,
you're the person that everyone worries they'll end up next to,
yes,
on the airplane.
Yes. I mean, I don't know that I actually literally moved my arm, but I know I put it up. And then in my brain, I thought, I've got the sword. I'm fighting this with the sword. And a verse that's really big in my brain a lot is Philippians. It's from Philippians 2, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm saying that in my brain and picturing myself holding out a sword. And I'm holding out my shield, and you know what? That anxiety is gone. And my plane ride was a blast. I looked out the window. I never look out the window because that's terrifying. And I'm like, look, there's, you know, all the cool stuff, all the cool buildings. It was so fun. And it was because I was covered in the honor of God and in Jesus. So do that, ladies. Take Ali's challenge and cover yourself. That is how you have the power of God in life. That is how you have the power of God. That's all we got for you tonight. I'm going to pray to close us out. And I think Elspeth has some more stuff she wants to do. So Jesus, thank you for these ladies. Thank you for insights. Thank you for Dee, who writes this stuff for us. We have had an incredible, incredible semester in Ephesians, Lord. We just love you. We just love you. We love you. Gave us your word. Father, clothe these women in your armor. May they walk out of here as soldiers.